Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, whatever time you're listening. Thanks so much for tuning in, Dream Big listeners. So every show I bring with the hopes that I will reach someone, and usually, you know, it is a very positive, enforcing a message. Today's going to be kind of heavier than usual, but I think that that's life. I think in media right now, we're seeing a lot of different things going on, and it can be confusing. And I don't want to say I'm jumping on the bandwagon, but I feel that this topic's really important. And I think at some point, one way or another, we may all be affected by this. Now, I never knew the term of it. I actually lived it in my life at a certain time, and won't go into total detail about it, but there's a term called gaslighting, and I didn't know what that was. And so I have my lovely Liz Tupling here, who was willing to share information about it. Now, I'll give you a little bit of background of why I think this is a good idea. You know, especially for women, I believe it probably affects men and women. We'll discuss that and how it affects them differently. But I consider myself a very strong woman. I know what I want. I work really hard, and I think I have really good intuition. I also think that I love people. I know I love people, and I always see the best in them first. And I think that that's where things can get cloudy sometimes in relationships that you bring into your life. You see the good things, but sometimes there is an underlying thing that happens, and sometimes it happens very slowly. And before you know, you're in a situation and you don't even know how you got there. And now, believing that you're an intelligent woman, believing that you're a strong woman, believing all of these things, you really want to say, oh, I could never be in a situation like that. You know, you look at some of the things in the media right now, and I think we look at some people as victims. And none of us, I don't think, ever wants to be looked at as a victim. And when we are, we're like, it looks as a weakness. But things happen. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce Liz Tupling, who's been on my show many times, and we're going to keep her as a regular because I get a lot of fan emails saying that they just love her. And so welcome back, Liz. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you, Jill, for inviting me to come back and to be with you today.
It's great. Always a pleasure. So gaslighting, why don't you know, it sounds like a weird name. What does the name come from? What does it mean?
It originated from the 1944 film Gaslight, in which a husband tried to convince a wife that she was insane by causing her to question herself and her reality. So he kind of, in the movie Gaslight, chipped away at her sense of herself, her sense of her experience, and pretty much reduced her to a crazy woman. And if you remember that movie, was it 80s or 90s? I can't remember the time frame. Sleeping with the Enemy.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I watch that movie a lot. That should say something.
Oh, no.
I do. Yeah. I watch it like 15 times. That is really interesting.
That is an interesting fact unto itself, Jill.
Need a session there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Sleeping with the Enemy was based on the same kind of premise of gaslighting. The husband did the same thing to her. He kind of, you know, destroyed her sense of reality, created incredible doubt within her. So that, you know, she basically handed over most of her power, all of her power,
right.
him. So that's the, you know, that hopefully explains the origins of the term itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what, I don't know. Now, gaslighting can really happen to anyone. It doesn't have to be a woman per se. It could happen to a man or a woman.
Both.
Correct?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And what are some of the signs, the beginning signs anyway? Let's start there maybe.
So let me just give you a quick definition.
Sure. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So this is based on a definition laid out in a Psychology Today article, Seven Stages of Gaslighting in a Relationship. And so essentially what it is, it's a form of persistent manipulation, okay, and brainwashing that causes the victim to doubt himself, herself, or, and ultimately lose his or her own sense of perception, reality, and self-worth. And so it's kind of like it becomes this distortion over time where the gaslighter really wants you to be in their reality, completely ditch your reality, and establish a form of control over you that's initially done by creating isolation. Okay. But even prior to that, I should back it up. It's initially done by creating huge levels of doubt. Okay. Right. So
now, in some cases, you know, I know from my experience in the past, and some of my friends or associates that have also experienced it, I feel that it almost starts with a comfort level where they build you up. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of a way to, they bring you in and make you feel safe in order then find out all your weaknesses and then go after those? Is that part of gaslighting, kind of, sort of?
Spot right on. Yeah, okay. Spot on. Generally, the gaslighter is a person who you have a connection with. It's and there's been there's some history of trust.
Right.
Okay. So, and that kind of lays this foundation for the manipulation to begin, because you're already in a place where you're, through the trust, fairly vulnerable.
Right.
Because you're perceiving that person as a trusted authority,
right,
in your world.
And then you open up to them. So you open up to them, you open up your fears, your, you know, your dreams, and also, you know, your hopes and your vulnerability. And in order to do that, then that gives them a menu, just a menu to work with.
A plethora of advantages. Right. Or a plethora.
It works either way.
Plethora, yeah.
So going with that, what are some of the first things that they do? Signs, I guess you could say.
So let's go with that doubt piece. Let's start there. So generally, you know, it's chipping away at your sense of what the experience is. So if you're challenging the person and you're saying, you know, what you did or what you said or how you were showing up didn't really make me feel all that great, then generally the gaslighter will start with, no, I didn't.
Right.
Really? Did you? No. Are you sure that you remember that correctly? Mm-hmm. That's not what I said. Mm-hmm. It's not what I did. And so it right there is kind of like the underpinning and the beginnings of this foundation of guilt of doubt. Mm-hmm. And then the feeling of guilt of like, well, maybe I'm unfairly judging that person.
Right.
You know, maybe I'm not seeing this correctly and there's something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the person who's being gaslit starts to feel guilty about some unfair judgments. And so it really starts with a series of lies.
Okay.
Okay. Right. So, you know, and I stumbled across a quote in preparation for our time together, Jill, that essentially said, if you repeat a lie enough, it becomes accepted as truth.
That sounds familiar in our state right now and in the United States. We won't go there. But so it's true, because it wears, right? It just, like you said, chips away. Do you feel that there is a certain makeup of a person that can be gaslighted?
You know, I think anyone, Jill, is prone
okay.
to being gaslit. Even the most psychologically sophisticated and savvy person
okay.
can be gaslit.
Right. Because we all have insecurity somewhere, right? And self-doubt.
And we all want to trust someone eventually.
Yeah. Right.
We
right.
really do. And this is really, really, this is a kind of manipulation that can be very subtle and it can evolve over time. It can be very fluid. It can be done without raising a voice, becoming aggressive. So it's very, very, very subtle.
That's interesting.
It builds over time, oftentimes without our awareness.
Until you're in it.
Right,
you know,
right.
And yeah,
so you have this defining moment where you, yeah,
Yeah,
you know that you're in it.
Yeah, but that takes, and sometimes that takes a very long time for people to realize it, because the person they're looking at, they think they can trust and they feel safe with.
Right.
So let's look at the opposite side of it, the gaslighting person.
Sure.
What is their psychological makeup?
So there's a couple different situations oftentimes with the gaslighter. Some gaslighters are absolutely aware that they're doing it. They have a conscious awareness that they're doing it. This is a means to an end. This affects an outcome, and it's needed to affect an outcome that they want or desire. And they're very conscious that they're utilizing it as a tactic, perhaps in business, perhaps in sales, maybe even in leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then there's the other side of that equation where someone is entirely unaware that they're doing it. Okay, so there's no conscious awareness that this is being utilized as a tool for manipulation. I find that the folks who kind of fall into that camp are people who were raised in very unhealthy situations, maybe even with narcissistic parents,
mm-hmm.
where they developed the skill set of the gaslighter in order to survive,
right?
Being gaslit themselves.
Sure.
And so they took it on as part of a survival and survivor identity. And that's been their tool for navigating the world. So then they essentially do it in most of their adult relationships without being aware.
Well, it's just like anything in being raised by a parent of any sort, it's learned behavior. It's your surroundings. It's all you know.
It's how you survive.
And so to call them out on it, they would probably say, what are you talking about? I don't even know what you mean. Where other, the ones that, you know, are legitimately knowing what they're doing, you call them out and they get aggressive probably, but
right.
Yeah. So what other signs of it are there as far as knowing that you're being gaslit?
So there is the lying, mm-hmm. the outright lies, and then there's projections. Okay. So oftentimes what a gaslighter will do is a gaslighter will project onto you what they're doing. So if the gaslighter is cheating,
mm-hmm.
okay, say we're talking about a relationship dynamic, a gaslighter is cheating, oftentimes they'll accuse their partner of cheating.
Yeah.
The gaslighter has a substance abuse problem or dependency, oftentimes they'll accuse the partner
mm-hmm.
of the same. So it's creating kind of a distraction off to the side, but the distraction's on you.
Right. Not okay, on them.
So, right. The attention is shifted away from them and over to you.
Mm-hmm.
And there, again, we're kind of creating this, is it me? Oh my gosh, am I, you know, we're going into this whole bubble of self-doubt because the attention's taken off of them. So projection is definitely a part of it, Jill.
Right. And usually if, at least in my experiences, they make it really big. So that the distraction is so big that you can't even be like, wait, you know, where it started, where did the situation start from in the first place? Because all of a sudden, all this you're trying to figure out and everything becomes mumbo jumbo. So, you know,
right. And an exaggeration is a big, big part of this,
mm-hmm.
right? The need to kind of make it bigger than life so that when it lands on you, you can barely crawl out from underneath it and find daylight.
Right. And then the argument ends or whatever the case may be, if you had, you know, tried to defend yourself or say, hey, this is going on. And they're like, no, it didn't. You're crazy, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, I'm just tired.
Okay. And that's another piece of this, Jill, is exhaustion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So oftentimes these tools, conscious or unconscious, are used repetitively.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So repetition is part of it. And repetition kind of lays the groundwork for wearing you out, getting you to doubt yourself, staying in the doubt, projecting. And through all of that, you're absolutely exhausted.
Right.
So in your exhaustion, you lack that awareness to be able to kind of stop the whole thing, roll it back or slow it down and go, whoa,
mm-hmm.
hold on a second here. Let me just check self.
Right.
This may not be my stuff. This is yours. You're actually too exhausted, depleted, and overwhelmed to even get there.
And it's gotten to the point that your self-doubt is just overrun. Yeah.
Life. And you've lost yourself. Your sense mm-hmm. of self has literally evaporated and has been consumed by this other individual.
Mm-hmm. In your line of work, what is, let's say someone comes into your office who has experienced this. What do you find right off the bat? Like, what's your first sign that they've been in that situation? usually if they've come to you by that point.
Yeah, I typically observe a lot of fear. Mm-hmm. And I observe low confidence, low self-esteem, mm-hmm. you know, like low self-worth for right. sure. Yeah, right. those are just some things that jump out initially, yeah.
Do you find that in working with them and you have to talk to them and bring them to light in their situation, do you feel that there's denial there at first that they believe that that's even happening?
Sure, yeah. sure. Because yeah. To be able to take on and accept that that's really happening in your world, mm-hmm. that's a tough pill to swallow.
Right.
And oftentimes it's sometimes safer and easier
sure.
to just not acknowledge it, to avoid it and let it be the 800-pound gorilla,
mm-hmm.
especially if you grew up with it.
Right. Exactly. If you grew up with it and it is it's the makeup, it's part of who you are. And so all of a sudden you're saying, okay, we're going to cut off your left arm because it's right. really not good for you.
Right.
So are there any other steps that you can mention in regards to kind of making people aware that this could be happening to them? Or did we kind of touch on them? Or
well, let's talk about a couple other things. There's the, the isolation piece, making sure that, you've completely collapsed into the gaslighter. And then with that, Jill, there's a couple other things. There's the idea that the gaslighter has told you, the person being gaslit, that everybody else thinks you're crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so even so-and-so at work thinks you're nuts.
Right.
Even my mother thinks you're nuts. Okay, so what that does is that it kind of creates this collective team around the gaslighter to create more doubt in the person who's being gaslit and the idea that, wow, okay, so other people really think I'm nuts too.
Right.
And there's an even further erosion of someone's self-confidence because the gaslighter has organized almost a community to confirm that you're crazy.
And I think too, from my experience and other people that I've talked to about this is that they also tear down any support you have. So in other words, your friends aren't, something's wrong with your friends, something's wrong with your family, something's wrong with anything that could pull you away from them and maybe give you positive influence about yourself. They somehow get into your head, making you doubt the people in your life that actually are good for you. Would that qualify?
So, and yes, absolutely. So when you doubt the people in your life that you at one point in time thought were good for you, then the gaslighter has further isolated you.
Mm-hmm.
And so then
you become dependent.
Yeah. You're of the opinion, well, I guess you're the only one I can trust.
Right. Right.
And then it's like mission accomplished.
Done.
It's done. Yes.
Bell goes off. So in regard to, say a person who all of a sudden has this wake up. I mean, who knows? It's probably like addiction. It's probably like anything. You hit your bottom, right? And that could be anything for anyone. It could be, fear for their life if there's any violence involved in it, or, just knowing that you're losing everything and all of a sudden realizing it and that this person isn't good for you. What are the psychological steps that you would recommend for people like that? Because I think in a sense, and we kind of touched on a little bit, is when you say, okay, this is happening, now I have to change my life.
Mm-hmm.
And where do you go? Because your life seems all encompassed in this one person. And so all of a sudden you've got to look to a new journey, a new path, and you don't have any confidence right now. You have no confidence. You're vulnerable. You feel like you have no friends because you pushed them all away, your family, that kind of thing. So what happens there? How do you advise someone to, okay, time to pack your bags. We're going to go start a new life.
Right, right.
Easier
said than done.
Yeah. I mean, right. What are the baby steps of moving forward?
Create that roadmap for support. That's mm-hmm. really, really important. My suggestion to a person who finds themselves in a kind of a chronic situation of being gaslit is before they even confront the gaslighter, create that network of support,
mm-hmm.
whether it's, friends, neighbors, colleagues, people that you go to school with, or just anyone close to you in your circle that you can trust and try to, or And if that trust has been damaged by the gaslighter, mm-hmm. really kind of start to look into how can you rebuild that trust?
Right.
Kind of, you know, examine the faulty messages and build that sense of support or a community around yourself again. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's going to be really, really important, because when the person confronts the gaslighter is going to try and deflect again.
Right.
Well, you can go to so-and-so, but they think you're crazy. So, mm-hmm. So build that network around yourself and make sure that it's in place.
Right.
So, and maybe it's someone from your, you know, group of people from your church, from, you know, a religious organization, your yoga friends, whomever.
Right. Someone out there.
Yeah. And have that in place before you are, you know, you've decided to confront the gaslighter.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing too is big in this situation when you realize once you're in it and then you try to get out of it and you are then trying to mend relationships like friends and family, there's a shame involved. You
yes.
feel shameful that you allowed it to happen. And you question yourself, how did I allow that to happen? But then also the friends and family come back and go, I can't believe you allowed that to happen. So what do you do with that? You know, shame is huge and it's hard to ever get rid of. And especially it's not something you can go back and redo and fix.
Right.
So what's good advice for shame? Because how do you, you know, when you're carrying that, you know, and you don't want to bring it into your next relationship.
Such a great point, and it's a really powerful one, because I think there's a message there for people who have discovered that they've been gaslit for a number of years or it's chronic in their relationships. Do not go into a space of self-judgment, mm-hmm. because it can happen to anyone.
Right.
Again, like we mentioned earlier, Jill, even the most psychologically sophisticated and savvy individual can find themselves right in the throes of a predatory gaslighting relationship, mm-hmm. or interaction. So don't go into a space of judgment, self-judgment, because that's actually going to take you down further down the rabbit hole.
Right.
It's not going to empower you. And I know we tend to do that. I think as women, particularly,
right.
we kind of, you know, we tend to go into that. I should have, I could have, why didn't I, mm-hmm. you know, I should know better.
The should know better, I think, is where it all comes down to, because like I said, you know, and a lot of the women that I've talked to in the past have been really strong women that I never would have expected
for sure
that they were in a situation like that. And you're like, wait, what? You, you know, and even that response in a way is sending like, not, you know, you're not intentionally doing it, but to say that, it almost causes them shame if you've come across that way, not meaning so, but just like, yeah, I know. I can't believe I would either, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not a negative. I think that that's, if we can tell anyone that, like you said, it can happen to anyone.
Absolutely.
And it may be happening to a lot of people right now and they aren't aware of it. And this show may be bringing it to light, which I sure hope it does.
For sure.
And I think, you know, for me, and I am not a psychologist, but just as a person who's lived some things, I think the only advice I can give is that going through it, experiencing it, and then actually going through the process of getting away from it. Sometimes it can be very long. It can be a long,
yes.
long process.
Yep.
But
yep.
I can only say that it's important, so important for your life. And then when you get on the other side of it, you realize that you are still the strong woman you thought you were, mm-hmm. but now you're even the wiser.
Yes.
So in fact, to not fall back into a situation like that, what would your advice be for a person, man or woman, to like observe? I mean, because sometimes because it happens so slowly, how do you mm-hmm. know? That, you know, you definitely don't want to head into it. And you know what? I'm going to leave that, because we're going to do that in episode 2 of this yes. conversation. I want to thank everyone. I do hope that this is helping you. I know it's helping me. And I know that we're out in a society right now that a lot of things are being brought, and it's not always comfortable. You know, it's not always comfortable to bring these things to light. Some people poo-poo them, like, oh, here we're labeling something again or something like that. But why not? if it's going to make you healthier, and we all want to live a very healthy, happy life and surround ourselves with light and not darkness. And on that, I will leave you. Thank you for tuning into Dream Big, and tune into the next episode with me and Liz Tupling.